Hello and welcome to the best of SEN Breakfast podcast. There's a whole lot more on the SEN website, but for now, here are some of today's best bits.
Fish Schnitz. Enjoy handmade pan-cooked schnitzel tonight. And Melbourne Airport parking. One-hour terminal parking, now only $12.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
It is pretty hard watching from the sidelines. I do barrack a bit. I think I've been kicked out of the coach's box this week and into the stats box, so Goody can't hear me.
The coach's box is one of the most... I don't know whether it's a sacred place, but
it is
a place where if I had the choice for all supporters of footy and lovers of footy, if they could experience one environment before their footy day watching days are over, I would have them go and sit in a coach's box.
And what do you think that they would discover?
I think they'd walk out shaking their heads, Tim.
In?
Obviously it's a hugely pressurised environment.
Yeah.
But sane men lose their minds and become obsessive over the most inane things. They become abusive. They scream at one another. They scream down. They and I've done this as a coach for a small period of time. They bash the desk like an idiot.
You know, a lot of them record what goes on in the coach's box, don't they?
Yeah, and they use it as a teaching mechanism.
Yeah, it's a pressurised environment. Because, there's no doubt about it. I was in there for a little while.
And
I
did you turn into an idiot?
Yeah, I did. I'll tell you one.
Just like, we bring that up, that was Jack Viney, but Tom Morris last night on the couch has said that Brendan McCartney has been asked to go back down to the boundary as opposed to being in the coaching box because of some coaching box tensions.
Right, so based on... He and other coaches aren't getting on in the coaches.
I don't know the actual... we're going to speak to Josh Marnie.
We'll put that question
to him at just after half past seven. But it's an interesting scenario.
Have you ever been the coach's box?
Many times. Many, many, many times.
As an injured player?
Yeah, yeah.
You surprised then by what you learnt when you're in there?
No, because I'm a bit wired that way. So I was half mad as well.
But how long did it take you before you put up your hand and said, look, I've got a suggestion?
No.
How many suggestions did you make in the first quarter?
No, but when I was out for almost a year with Barmy,
You took
there.
Over. That's what you're trying to say. You're trying to say.
No.
Barmy needed some help and I took over.
Not at all.
You know,
Barmy was the most calm, pragmatic man in the football world.
And he looked like that too.
Not by the end of it.
You know, the last game I coached for St Kilda, my brother-in-law invited him into the box, okay? And he's... an extrovert.
Is this the one who's doing some building for you at the moment?
No, that's not the one. No, that's my son-in-law. He's an extrovert, right? In all ways.
Well,
right?
He didn't start piping up, did he?
I said to him, I said, look, you can come in, you've got to sit here, and you've got to shut up, okay? You can't say anything. We're playing against North Melbourne, right? And Kerry was on fire in the first quarter. Oh, he's gone. What about that one? He's unbelievable, this
He'd nearly get killed for that. He would nearly get his head ripped off for that. We can demystify.
We can.
With this exclusive audio from a coaching box point of view, because I think the television cameras are onto it because they go straight up there and they shoot the coaches. There's a locked off camera now, you know that?
Yes.
Because it's such a place of interest. And we have audio that has been only ever heard on this station, on this program, in actual fact, that does give you some insight into just how pressurised and at times confusing the coaching box can be.
Fine, Johnson. But who is with Johnson? Is that Mark the shooter?
Yes.
Yes.
Stu, can you see who James is trying to... Who's picking up James for us? I can't find him.
Lecker? Is that James running back now? No, that's Daffy's on Lecker still. No, that's right. That's Daffy with Lekas. And Daffy's going to Smith, so I've got that one right. And who's Smith going to? Jono's coming off the wing by himself here. He can't. What's going on here? Jono. So that's James's bloke.
Where is James?
I was keeping an eye on that. There's f***ing something going on with him there.
That is the...
I believe that led to playing zone defence because it's so much easier when you don't have to worry about who's playing on who.
Those voices were Stephen Kernahan, Phil Malin, the coach Graham Corns and Neil Curley, the coach's box from the South Australian state team back in 1999, and our all-time favourite. We talked about playing without an ACL. This is from Shanksy. Wispy, Gary played without a heart for years, so I'm sure you could play without an ACL. That's pleasant from the Shank.
Unnecessary.
I hope Shanksy is get it off his chest and he can have a good day from this point forward.
Hi, Tim. I'm thinking of going hot air ballooning in the city on Anzac Day. What is the weather going to be like? It's going to be okay. There's going to be a little bit of rain tomorrow. But
you said there's
some
rain coming, did you not?
Yeah, not much. Okay. Not really rain, just a spit.
We're going to throw the lines open. After the 7 o'clock news, the match review outcomes, we'll give you a say on that. Footy players, are they really part-time or professional? Josh Marnie's going to join us, and it's a big clash. We're going to look at the D's and the Tigers tonight at the MCG.
I was keeping an eye on that. There's something going horribly wrong there.
Fishnets. Enjoy handmade pan-cooked schnitzel tonight. And Melbourne Airport parking. 1 hour terminal parking, now only $12.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Well, fortunately, 1116, we're setting the breakfast table. The breakfast menu today includes Bob Murphy, going to join us after 8. Josh Marnie, the Melbourne General Manager of footy. We've got Riley Jacks, who's playing for Melbourne Storm and doing a wonderful job. Sammy Edmund, as always. That's the breakfast menu. Thanks to Schnitz, the family restaurant, making weekends all gravy. What are you laughing at?
I'm just reading this Ed thing. You know, it's serious. Because...
Can I just say, I just want to throw the lines open before you tell us. 9:14, 11:16, you haven't had your chance properly to have a say on anything we've spoken about this morning, and it's been dominating the radio over and TV over the last 24 hours, and that's mainly the match review. But you can talk about what you want. We'll have a chat about that. Footy players, part-time or professional? I want to pick Tim's brain on that further, but what are you laughing at?
Well, no, I just... just received a text message about this, but promoting this Eddie erectile dysfunction thing, right, that appeared on Facebook, right? Now, the story is, if you haven't caught on, is that it's fake news. So
someone just grabbed Eddie's name and started
and like a cut and paste thing.
Attributing quotes to it.
That's right. And saying that he and Dr. Phil were in partnership with this product that they discovered for erectile dysfunction and how well it works and all that sort of stuff. And clearly, it's not the case.
That's it.
No, he doesn't need that type of work. I mean, a Collingwood victory is enough for Ed.
That's a long way around to that joke. You're pretty happy with that, aren't you, Wiz?
No. Oh, thank you, Timmy!
The match review, let's get into it. As I said, we'll give you the opportunity to have your say. We respect opinions on this program, whether they agree with ours or not.
Yes,
we do. Here's the reaction.
I'll tell you what, we respect the opinions that agree with ours a lot more than those.
Here's the reaction for the shows across the TV landscape last night on the Ryan Burton verdict.
So this is a firestorm.
Oh, is it what?
From my perspective, there was no malice in that act whatsoever. You know, Sean and the Higgins family don't feel aggrieved. We don't feel aggrieved. So I'm not concerned or angry at the outcome by any stretch of the imagination. But I think some clarity would help.
If I agree with it, it is hard to say, but protection of the head. If someone makes a decision to do an action and someone else comes a head injury out of it, I think we have to be pretty strong with it.
Accidents happen. For me, I am fine with that being not reported.
So there's Jared, Robbo, Brad Scott, Jack Revolt, Jordan Lewis. Let's take your calls. Dan from Ascot Vale. G'day, Dan.
Yeah, morning, guys. How you going?
Good. What have you made of it all?
I've got a different topic at the moment. I'm a passionate Fremantle supporter. I've taken particular interest in the new stadium in Perth. Over the past five rounds. I know that the talk in Perth is the unsafe surface. Should we be making a bigger deal about it in Melbourne? It looks like players are going down with long-term injuries every game over there, and I think the most recent game was Matt Tabiner, the 3-0 forward, going to be out for at least 3 months with a broken foot. So there are a lot of sort of bone injuries and structural injuries. Would the AFL be looking at it straight away?
Well, Dan, that's a good question, Gary. Would the AFL, we know that they're worried about the awning, the LED around the outside of the ground. With this spate of injuries, should they be taking a closer look at the players?
I'm glad Dan raised it. The AFL Players Association will be monitoring this really closely, and the comments of Adam Simpson were really interesting when he was asked about this. He almost raised the question himself, which from a coach would suggest that there is a problem. If they just sort of raise and muse over it and go, yeah, I wonder if it is, then you can read much more into that. Brian is on the line from Chelsea Heights. G'day there, Bryzer.
Good morning, fellas. I was just a bit confused, like you, by this tribunal. I'm 75 and played footy 40 years ago, And if you elbow someone to the head, well, you got reported, and usually you got suspended. That's before all this rubbish classifications come in.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what's changed. If it's quite, Selwood gets a week for protecting his brother, and Mitchell gets a fine for elbowing someone to the head.
Yeah, so you think that Tommy Mitchell was cut and dry, just elbowed Goldstein to the head, regardless of whether it was hard or soft, you reckon he should go?
Well, if you hit someone in the head with your elbow at any time, in any time in football, deliberately, it was a suspension.
Tim?
Yeah, it was. I don't think that he did.
He did.
Well, you think it was a clear elbow to the head.
What else was it?
Well, I didn't see that clearly to me. Well, I don't. Well, exactly. That's what Todd Goldstein said. It didn't make any contact with
Toddy. Toddy did the old player's code.
Said
it barely was like.
Look, you can only call it as you see it. Okay, from the moment I saw that, and then we replayed it again and again and again, because Twitter, as it does, social media lit up during the telecast on Sunday afternoon. A lot of people were talking about it. Went back, had a look at it again. I still didn't think that he was going to get suspended for that, but the bump this morning is still a massive, massive issue. And we've been looking at the text messages that have been coming through this morning, and I think probably, you know, I've been a little bit surprised that it's 50-50, probably. And we haven't counted them all up. But I reckon there's a lot of people that support the decision that was made by Chris last night.
Are in support of the decision from our audience. Yep. But that doesn't surprise me, because the general populace...
But your view is...
...don't want to see the bump outlawed.
But your view is, if we are to take this seriously, like we should be taking concussion and concussive episodes seriously, then that bump should have been penalised last night at the match review panel by Michael Christian.
Yes, and I'll go further. I think that the AFL should look at appealing the decision, and the mechanisms for that I'm confused about as well, given that Stephen Hawking has ticked off on this.
Well, no, they've got the mechanism. Let's clarify that point, right? They do have the mechanism to do that.
Well, you haven't told me how.
No, well, they can, but in doing that...
How?
In doing that now, given that they've already ticked off on it, Steve Hawking's already ticked off on it, it would be, I would think, an embarrassment to him if after ticking it off on behalf of the AFL, somebody like a Richard Goyder or somebody like a Gil McLaughlin then said, oh, hang on, no, we've got this horribly wrong. You've got this horribly wrong.
Well, so
we are now going to take this to the tribunal. Let's send it to the tribunal.
So they have or they haven't got the mechanism. They have, but you're scared that they'll embarrass Steve Hawking.
Well, that's my understanding of it.
Therefore, they won't do it.
Well, if they were to do that now, we know that he ticked off on it. He's the most powerful person at football level,
all encompassing. So
if he's ticked off on it, then it would be an embarrassment for him, would it?
Okay,
this is what I'm saying. It would be an embarrassment for him if somebody then at the AFL said, no, hey, we've got this horribly wrong.
No, I understand.
We need to go back and revisit it.
I understand everything you're saying. Don't pretend that there's an appeal then. Don't go through the farcical notion of saying, yeah, you can appeal it. We won't, because we don't want to embarrass Steve Hawking, but you can. We'll say there is. I mean, there has to be an appeal process there, a clear and definitive arbitrary person that says, no, this is wrong, Steve got it wrong, Chris O got it wrong, we are going to appeal this on behalf of the code. But you're saying it won't happen, and I understand what you're saying. Steve's from Mentone. Go, Steve.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Maybe we've got the wrong bloke in charge, but just have a look at it. Josh Caddy gets a week for attempting to spoil a ball, and, you know, he followed through, and that's when he had his game and clocked the bloke. And
yeah, I agree with that.
He got a week for that. Selwood gets a week for pushing a bloke's, what did he wrinkle his jumper? I didn't even see any strike or anything in that.
Yep.
A chap gets off for knocking a bloke out cold on a stretcher for a hip and shoulder. That doesn't matter whether he falls into it or it's accidental. It's... The other bloke's got a duty of care. It's still the hip and shoulder.
Hey, Steve, are you a little confused, are you, Steve?
Well, I'm very confused, Tim, because we're into round five and we're talking about... weekly, we've been speaking about the tribunal, and we're in round five and we still don't know what's what. And, it seems obvious.
I think that's reflective, Steve, of a lot of people. And... it is a thankless task. Let me just say this about Chris, though. Whether we or I, in this instance, agree or disagree is neither here nor there. It's just an opinion. But I admire the way he has gone about this really difficult role this year. He's up front. He fronts the media, takes your phone calls, is happy to discuss things about it. So
he's transparent.
Yeah, and he's just making decisions on his own interpretation.
Yep.
with, I think, as you said, some help from the AFL. Dave is, give Steve a prize there.
I'm going to give him a pair of the bamboozled socks. Good call from you, Steve.
Good on you. Dave from Lang Warren, let's whip through these. Go, Davey.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, Timmy, I see what you mean about whether the AFL would be embarrassed if they went against Steve Hocking and overturned it. But it could be a good test for him too. There's nothing better than a leader who can go come out and say, look, I had a view, I made a decision, or I agreed with the decision, but I was approached. People argued the other point, and they swayed my opinion. And now, I mean, that can be a great test, and to come out and say you've got, you know, a consultative sort of person who's had some educated arguments put to them and they've changed their mind.
Yeah, no, that's a reasonable point of view to take too, Dave.
And I don't think Steve Hocking... I think Steve Hocking is that sort of person. Yep. I'm not saying he will, but just... Have you got any concern? You know Peter Jess well.
Yep.
He's campaigning and has been campaigning on behalf of a number of players on concussion issues.
Yeah.
Are you worried that this can maybe exacerbate that problem that we're trying to eradicate, if I can use two big words like that?
The
ruling here.
The ruling...
Yeah, because that's a real issue in this.
I think everything has to be done. Everything possible has to be done to protect players and their heads in the game now, because we know the ramifications of that. So
correct.
I think, based on what we saw at the weekend, we have failed in doing that.
Right. Okay. Good. James from Maribyrnong. G'day, James.
How you going, boys?
Good, James.
Look, I just want to talk about... I've been watching, you know, hearing you guys, and I watched all the footy shows last night and everything, and we're all talking about whether things are intentional, like the bump in the middle of the ground. What about the intentional bump from Zerha on Mirror into the fence? Nobody talks about that being intentional. He could have killed the bloody bloke.
Yeah, no, that was dangerous. You're quite right, James, and we talked about it at the time during the telecast. That is dangerous. He was fined for that.
You know the issue with that, Wisp?
What is it?
He did it while Mirror was still in the field of play.
Did he?
Yeah.
I thought the contact was made over the boundary line.
I'm getting nods out here that he bumped him within the boundary line, within the field of play.
It's dangerous, though, isn't it?
Oh, no, 100% it was. But how do you outlaw that?
Yeah, well, it's difficult to outlaw that. I mean, you're within the confines of what you expect or what's reasonable under those circumstances.
I agree with James, that call. I agree with you.
I hated
the look of it, but in the end, it was done within the field of play.
James Sicily, then. Let's move on to that incident, okay?
Yes.
Not a stomp.
Yeah, a stomp.
No, it's not a stomp. He trod on his leg.
What was it?
Well, he trod on his leg.
Was it trod?
Yeah, it was a tread.
It was a tread, not a stomp.
It was a step.
What's the difference?
It was a step. Well, you know the difference between a stomp. I mean, a stomp is when you go and act aggressively to try and forcefully do something.
I just want to be the devil's advocate. And in this instance, I'll go with Crusoe, right? Off the ball, the player's stopped. He's about to jump past. He stops and thinks, oh, no, I'll just tramp on this bloke's leg.
Stupid, idiotic. Okay, but I would say, why not just fine him?
Yeah, I would fine him 10 grand.
Yeah, why not just fine him?
Give him 10.
I don't see how that needs to go to the tribunal.
Well, I think it's the look is what Chris is saying. It's not something they want to see blokes doing, stepping on other players behind the play or off the ball. It's been a very hectic morning. There's a cut. This is another photo in the paper. Higgins clearly handballed it away. So if Burton tapped this bloke Jude or girl Jude process... The ball came out when he was hit. We might just give that person a spell, for he's not been on his sharpest this morning. the Twitter poll this morning, should the AFL change the Ryan Burton suspension? Yes, 40%, no, 60%. I'm not surprised by that, because that would appear to be the consensus. All right, we might move along. I think we've done enough on it this morning. We'll probably touch on it again at some stage before 9 o'clock whispers, but we're giving it a fair crack.
Is that Bob?
Bob Murphy is out there.
Warming himself up this morning?
He is out there. He's got plenty he wants to get off his chest. And he said something along the lines that he's pretty happy with his article this week too.
I heard that too.
Yeah, did you hear him say that? Well, we might try and get out of him what it is indeed. A break. Sam Edmund, who's been absolutely working the phones out there furiously, may be able to come in and add some detail over some of the questions from this morning. Josh Marnie, the Melbourne man, is going to join us, and then we'll have a good old-fashioned match preview of Melbourne and the Tigers, the Anzac Day Eve clash tonight. All that before 9.
Fishnitz. Enjoy handmade pan-cooked schnitzel tonight. And Melbourne Airport parking. One-day terminal parking now only $51.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Josh Munn is the General Manager of Footy Operations of the Melbourne Football Club. They're involved in a huge game tonight at the MCG. It's become an institution on the AFL fixture. Melbourne v Richmond, and I think they'll be pushing up towards 90,000. Josh Marnie joins us. Welcome, Josh.
Morning, Gary. Yeah, we're getting close to that. I think the latest is 87,000 for tonight, so it's very exciting.
So is there a possibility, given, I suppose, I depend on membership and who actually rolls up on the night, that you might top 90?
We think there is. There's a chance. I think the conditions tonight, it's going to be a nice night, probably about 20 degrees. Good conditions for people to come down. It's going to be a great game. So, yeah, hopefully we do get to that number. It'll be a great effort.
Yeah, it will be. It's going to be a great occasion. You're playing against quality opposition, the best opposition, I think, in the game at the moment. So you'll find out plenty. And from a selection point of view, there's some interesting selections. Wiedemann, Tyson, Hunt, Stretch come in. Lewis is out with that hand. Bug, Fritch and Frost. But there's the added dilemma, I suppose, of trying to balance up playing on a Tuesday and then backing up again on a Sunday game. So is that taken into consideration?
Oh, first and foremost, you pick the best team to win the first game, which is tonight's game against Richmond. But we always factor in that it's only a five-day break until next Sunday. So certainly we had some guys that didn't play at all this weekend. They can play VFL for Casey, and our Casey team played on Sunday. So we'll get through tonight's game, and then we'll assess that. But we're looking to bring some fresh legs in, no doubt.
Hey, Josh, good morning. It's Tim here. The story this morning around is that there's been some changes to the coaching box structure at Melbourne as well. Can you tell us exactly what's happened? It's been reported that Brendan McCartney won't be in the coach's box for reasons to do with some disruption that may have occurred there. Is that the case, or is that not the case? And can you tell us exactly what is going on there?
Yeah, you go, Tim. I think after four rounds, you take the opportunity as a longer break to look at all different things about what is happening with our team on the field, what's the operations look like, how's communication. And one thing we looked at was communication to the coach down to the bench. And as a result out of that, we've said Brendan McCartney had been on the bench for the last 2 years and thought he did a terrific job down there. So that's basically been the change. Rather than him being in the coach's box, he's going back down to the bench. So not much more to add to it than that.
Okay, so it's been reported incorrectly then. So it's not anything to do with Brendan McCartney not gelling with other people in the coach's box?
No, I think it's purely about trying to get better communication on the bench and utilising someone's skill set, and that's the reason we've made that decision.
How important is it from a response to a disappointing game against Hawthorne in front of what's going to be a huge crowd, not only at the game, but a huge television audience as well? How important is it that this Melbourne brand, or who it's been spoken about in recent weeks, is on display tonight against the Tigers?
Well, it's important, Gary, because we're trying to build a reputation as a footy team. And yesterday, last week, we lost. We went backwards. We lost some fans on that. It takes a long period of time to build a reputation. And last week against Hawthorn wasn't anywhere near the way we want to play. So we've performed well up until that time over the pre-season and the first few rounds. But we get another opportunity against, as you mentioned earlier, the best opponents. You know, the pressure that Richmond bring with their tackling pressure, the rotations they got through their midfield, the way they defend. They're a great challenge for us, and no better way to be able to respond this week, as you said, in front of a big crowd and against last year's premiers.
Talking to Josh Marnie, the Melbourne General Manager of Football and Operations. This is a broader question, a big sort of footy question, and to do with the match review panel decision on Ryan Burton. Is that the right decision, do you think, Josh, for the game of AFL football?
Yeah, rather than talk about incidents in particular, I think I spoke to our players 2 weeks ago about what is the trends that are coming out. And the two things that I tell our playing group is that if you make contact with the head at any stage, you put yourself at risk. And anything behind play is something they're looking at as well. If there's any jumper punches or anything minor in there, you're going to be lighter in your pocket as well, and you get fined with that. So they're the two things. If you choose to bump, you make contact with the head, you're going to be at risk. And anything behind play as well, you're going to end up getting a fine.
Does that mean you're surprised then that Ryan Burton didn't have a case to answer?
Well, the way it's been discussed is if you choose the bump and there is contact with the head, that, as I said, you're at risk. Yep. So I haven't looked at that in detail, whether he made contact with the head or not, but that's certainly the way we guide our players.
Hey, Josh, tell us, give us an insight into Sam Wiedemann, who was a big investment for the footy club, was taken as a first round top 10 pick. He's a 6 foot five, 6 foot six boy who has taken a little bit of time, which is tends to be the case for these big fellas, but he's got some good footy under his belt at VFL level now.
Yeah, the most important thing is he's been playing games at VFL level. He's put on some size over the pre-season. He looks now like an AFL body. He's put on 6 or 7 kilos. And the way, what we love about him, he just launches at the footy as a key forward. That's all you want, a big target that the players can look up the ground and kick the ball to. He's been in good form at VFL and he's going to create some really good contests for us and up against some really experienced defenders against Richmond.
Yeah, and would he be the pinch-hitting ruckman, do you think, when Maxi has a spell?
Sam's been doing that at VFL level. We've been training up to the second ruck, so at this stage, we'd expect him to be doing that.
Well, it's going to be a beauty. 87,000, if, as you predict, is 87 at the moment, get there. It'll be the biggest home and away crowd that Melbourne have played in front of since 1964, so let's hope that is the case.
Yeah, and we're encouraging people to get there early. Gary, we don't want... There's going to be some extra security, as there is with big crowds like this, so try to get there as out of work and get down there as quickly as you can and, I aim to get there around 5:30. There's going to be activities before the game, and I don't think you can get a better time before the game. But when there's a crowd like that and there's silence around the G and they play the last post, it's one of those memorable experiences that everyone should experience.
100%. Josh, yep. Good luck tonight.
Fishnets. Enjoy handmade pan-cooked schnitzel tonight. And Melbourne Airport parking. You can now park closer for cheaper.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Oh, it's always our focus. Like, obviously, you know, offensive method really is secondary to us. It's defence that we crave first and foremost. So whatever the scoreboard outcome will be dictated by our defence, not our offence.
That's the reigning premiership coach, Damien Hardwick, yesterday. Jump on the line right now, 9:14, 11:16. We're doing a good old-fashioned preview of the big game. 7:25 at the MCG, 85-plus thousand people. Last time they met, the Tigers defeated the Demons by 13 points in round five last night. And the Demons, I think, got to almost 20 points up at one stage in either the third or fourth quarter. So the Tigers... roll them over the top of them. What's going to happen tonight?
Well, I think you're going to see a much, much more aggressive Melbourne side than we saw last week.
What do you got for our best caller?
I've got a family pass. Oh, this would be brilliant. You and I might go to this, actually. The Dog Lovers Show. You can meet over 600 dogs there. That's on May 4 to 6.
Where is it?
You can fetch. I like this bit. You can fetch tickets online.
Where is it?
It's at the Dog Lovers Show.
Where
it? I think it's at the Dog Lovers Show.
Well, tell me where it is. And
everyone knows where it's at. Gary, it's at the Dog Lovers Show.
Could we use a family pass, you and I? Or not?
It's possible.
Well, no, we couldn't.
Hey, just quickly before we get to calls about the game tonight,
yep.
Have you been able to locate your vehicle that went missing?
Didn't go missing. I didn't have a vehicle go missing. It was borrowed.
What, for...
Borrowed. I lent it to someone.
Because a vehicle of that very same description was seen in the car park down at Moorabbin for 3 days with a flat battery unattended.
Thank you, Tim, you peanut. Johnny from Mill Park, let's do the match preview tonight. What's happening, Johnny?
Good, boys, and you?
Good, good. What do you think?
I think Richmond's biggest concern will only be one player, as far as I'm concerned, and that's Maxi Gawn. If they can nullify him at stoppages...
Yep.
And basically square that off. I think our outside run's going to be too quick for Melbourne. Melbourne's got some strong bodies in there, but I don't think they have a lot of speed on the outside.
I think that's a reasonable point. You're not worried about, though, Petrarca and Oliver maybe getting their hands on it?
No, I mean, that's what I just said to you. If they get hands on it, if they break even in that area, I think we've got the blokes on the outside that can really hurt Melbourne. You look at it closely, the players that they've brought in, and apart from Hunt... I mean, they're not really blessed with leg speed on the outside. I mean, I know Garlett's quick and Jed is quick and Hunt, but Petrarca, Oliver, Jones and, Brayshaw, they're not overly quick.
No, that's a good point,
yeah,
Johnny.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know your footy.
He does,
sure.
He does. And you've got to listen a little bit more closely to what it is that he has to say because you missed his first point there.
I didn't miss it.
No, you missed
it. No, I didn't.
Hey, Shane Edwards.
You did say to me, I just said that.
You and I both agree that Shane Edwards is probably one of those underrated players at Richmond. Do you... You've got Cotchin, right, who might go head-to-head with Jonesy.
Yep.
Dusty. How do you play him if you're a Melbourne Brains Trust tonight?
Well, through the midfield, they'll all go after their own footy whisk because that's just the way footy's played. My concern as a Demon supporter is what happens when he
gets
plants his big black backside in the goal square.
Right.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Well, who goes to him?
Well, I don't know. Maybe Oscar.
Right.
Oscar McDonald from Melbourne supporters.
Okay, so you leave Oscar
deep. He cops a bit of a whacking, but one-on-one, he's been their best defender.
So you leave him, okay. He would probably go to, I would think, Jack Riewoldt, right? But if you're saying that Jack Riewoldt moves up the ground, Dusty, they isolate him, you would have Oscar playing on him.
Yeah, and or Bernie Vince may be another one that they just go with. Bernie can do a run with through the middle and follow him down. Johnny's from Oakley. Go, Johnny.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. What do you think tonight, Johnny?
Oh, well, I'm a Tiger fanatic. I think it's going to be a great game, the Anzac spirit. But Richmond should let the midfield run wild and play tight in defence. Give Melbourne a little bit of respect for their forwards because there's some big bodies there.
Yep.
But that's what I think. Let the midfield do what it does and man them up so we don't do what we did in Adelaide. I think that's what happened there when Richmond lost. So, but it should be a very interesting contest. And I hope Dusty plays midfield tonight.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he'll go for it at some stage.
That'd be fascinating, though, wouldn't it? I mean, he's won everything else in the game. If he gets an Oscar tonight, that would just about complete the set, would it not?
He'd have the full roll-up, indeed. Hey,
Simon...
Jesse Hogan. Yeah. Just on Jesse Hogan. Yeah. He is morphing into a forward/midfielder. You know that, don't you?
I like that, too.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Which is all good and well, but he was drafted as a key forward. So when you do your list analysis... You go, okay, how are we best served there? Now that he's not there, pressure now on Wiedemann, and that's why I'm surprised it's not Pedersen, to be perfectly honest. Just that's my own personal opinion.
Believe Pedersen provides more as a backup ruckman.
Yeah. He kicked 5 on the weekend for VFL in the VFL. He's proven at the level. I think Wiedemann will get there. Hopefully he has arrived, Sam Wiedemann, and tonight might be the first sign because they take some time. Josh Imani told us that his footy's been better. But, I mean, you're up against what I think is nearly the best backline in the competition in Asprey and also Rance and my man who's terribly underrated in Grimes.
And Broad is back in the team too. Luke's in Traralgon. Good morning, Luke. You there, Luke?
Yeah, hi, Gavin, Tim. How are you?
Good on you, Luke. What's going on, mate?
Something I'm not overly happy about. Last week, the Trucker played about 60% game time down back against the Hawks. Quite surprising, and maybe that's just a little preview that maybe he might be going to Martin when Martin goes forward, a bit of a track of learning for him. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't think that's going to happen, Luke, and I don't mean to be short with you, but I don't think the Petrarca will be playing anywhere near Dusty Martin when he goes forward. They might go head-to-head in the middle of the ground, which would be great fun.
That would be a great thing to see tonight.
Where are you tipping, Tim? Because we're coming up towards 8 o'clock.
I can't go past the Tigers. I like the Tigers.
You got a how much, boy?
I like the Tigers by 4 goals.
Okay. Prize for Johnny in Mill Park, the Dog Lovers Pack. Give us a call back, Johnny, if you don't mind. You can go to the Dog Lovers Show. I think the Demons... No, I'm going to reserve my tip until 9 o'clock.
You're not, are you?
I'm reserving till 9.
You've got people hanging on the edge of their
seats. Bob Murphy's going to join us next.
For Schnitz, enjoy handmade pan-cooked schnitzel tonight. And Melbourne Airport parking. Up to 3 hours terminal parking, now only $24.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Oh, very good hour coming up. Bobby Murphy's in the studio. He's been here since 6:30, actually. I don't know why. Riley Jacks, he was a tradie 2 years ago. He's now a Storm star playing under Craig Bellamy. Now, Wispy, just before I go to Bob, the Demons are 5 out of 6 against the Tigers in recent times. You don't need pace on the outside if you win the contested footy against the Tigers. Demons' number one pressure side in 2017. Tigers the number one in finals. Demons only lost being down in rotations last year. What do you make of that?
Well, I make that...
You're changing your mind?
As being interesting. No, I haven't changed my mind. I'm sticking with the Tigers. I think they're a great team, Richmond. And the other breaking news too, and this will affect you, is that a caravan has now been parked in the car park here. And it's behind somebody's car who wants to have a quick getaway after the show.
What do you mean a caravan's been parked?
Well, there's been
a
caravan that's parked in the car park
that's
here at
Bob, who got five.
It's not Bob's caravan. It's another caravan, and the driver's gone away. They won't be back until about 10:30 this
morning.
Guess
what? When he comes back, his caravan won't be there either.
Just be careful taking on the caravan for 2 minutes.
Oh, yes. Bob Murphy joins us. One of the great caravanners.
Hello, Timmy.
Hello, Bobby.
Your Winnebago out there.
No, it's not mine, but I'll just just tread carefully with the caravan crew, because you take on one, you take on the army.
Why would there be a stray caravan in our car park? What would lead a caravaner to park in?
There's separate rules. If you've got a caravan, you can do whatever you want.
They're backpackers. It's a backpacker's caravan.
Oh, yeah, that's well, that's a different kettle of fish.
Hey, here for a couple of months.
Bobby is here, brought to us thanks by the Melbourne Dog Lovers Show, Wisp, which we've just spoken about. Meet over 600 dogs at the Dog Lovers Show from May the 4th to the 6th. Fetch your tickets online.
Yeah.
I like that.
Did you bring your dog? Did I see a picture of you with your dog on your lap in here? In the studio, talking to Jared Waitley?
Yeah, I did. I had to.
How did you get
Arthur
that pass?
Arthur and I had a media appearance after the show, so I brought Arthur in to.
Why did you leave Arthur in the car with the window down?
Oh, Tim,
is he
not
he can't spend time on his own?
No. You're not familiar with not leaving dogs in the car.
He's a sausage dog.
He's a sausage dog. Yeah, he's. He's a good little man. He's a bit long in the tooth now. He's 14, so I've got to. He gets an armchair ride these days, Timmy.
Tom Dyson is debuting apparently for Melbourne. Our newsreader, or the new, not ours, but the news we take must have said Tom Dyson's.
Yeah, playing. Tommy.
Yeah, so a new player for the Demons.
Old flipperoo, left footer, classy left footer.
No, this one's a right footer.
Hey Bob, we've got to ask you a serious question about the Burton and the Sean Higgins collision.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll just call it a collision. We won't call it a bump. We won't call it anything else.
You've been in the business long enough now, not to just feather your answer.
Yeah. Okay. Right decision?
No. No, I was confused. Shocked.
Confused?
Yeah, confused.
Shocked.
Yeah. Have they changed the rule?
I don't think so, no.
They haven't changed it.
No. Right. So as a player, as a former, most recent player,
you
are confused.
If you're a player now, you would have to be confused. Yeah.
So your feeling or your interpretation was, up until yesterday, that even if you chose to bump and then there was head contact, then you had to wear the consequences.
But if you had another option, which he clearly did, he could have, you know, could have tackled him. I'm not. It wasn't a dirty act. It wasn't.
No, nothing malicious about it.
Nothing malicious, but not just. I would have thought 3 weeks.
Mm.
So, players out there, they'd be really confused.
So it's all about this unforeseen. You couldn't foresee that there was going to be. You've bumped to the shoulder.
Yeah.
And therefore, if it's reasonable to not expect to have made head contact, then you now got almost open slather wisp.
So the foreseen...
That's the worry. It's the worry for
when
me.
When did the foreseen or the unforeseen creep into the vernacular?
Well, they say it was after the 2014 version with Nat Fyfe, when he got suspended for a bump that was seen to be sort of... Well, it used to be called incidental contact.
Yeah, and then the whiplash of
sort of stuff. So anyway, there's a current AFL player that's...
I want to... bring up the other one, the James Sicily one, and
Wisp doesn't think there's much in that.
He thinks it's a what's your description?
A trod, he said.
Okay. It was like he was doing a little bit of boot scooting, and he just did a little step to his right.
So why is he doing it? Why is Sicily doing it?
I think he has a brain fade.
You think he has a brain fade? Because
what do you think he does?
Well, I'm confused. I'm bemused by
you're confused about a lot of things.
I'm confused. I mean, I know it's Tuesday and I'm usually here on a Wednesday. I got here very early.
You look like you're ready for bed, actually. You do. You look like you've just climbed
up. I have got a question, because I know someone, you know, Dermot Brereton, who famously got...
He's a treader.
He was a treader.
Stomper.
But he was an intimidating, imposing figure in the game. So when he did those sort of things, it sort of added to the whole Dermot show, whereas James Sith, I don't know why he's doing
it. He's a hothead.
I'm told
he is a hothead who's got, like, not anger management issues, but he's one of those players who does lose temporary control.
Yeah
well, that's it's the control. So I just don't know what he or the Hawks are getting out of it, because opposition teams wouldn't view him as an intimidating figure, presence on the field. He's a damn good player, but I don't know why he's doing it.
And this is a massive penalty to their team as well. You know, Puopo's on the sidelines, Rioli. He's a very good player, as you say. One of the more important players of their back six. What penalty would you be satisfied with?
For
what he did.
What did he get? He got...
No, he's got to go to the tribunal.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I think it's only a one, but it's like, why?
If he goes straight to the tribunal, it's generally more than that.
Yeah. I would have had it at one, but it's not a good sign if he goes straight to the tribunal.
Answer me this, you two learned gentlemen. Last time he was suspended, which was only...
After the first round.
Was it the first round?
Yeah.
And then his teammates come out, and certainly at least two, Isaac Smith was one, I'm not sure who the other one was, they said, he was asked about, you know, does James Sicily need to pull his head, and they said, no, we love him playing like this.
Was it Ruffy that said it? That might have.
Oh, he was on on the couch.
Yeah.
We love him. We love him on the edge. We love this on the edge business. We like him that he's a bit mad, and that Hodgie played like this was the reason. I wonder what they'd say now when we ask him. You get Isaac Smith on again and say, now Isaac, as a leader of this footy club, you publicly came out 2 weeks ago and said, no, we love the way that James Sicily plays.
Yeah.
He's now trod or whatever it is, and he's going to get another week or whatever. What say you now?
Yeah, I reckon,
do you still love it?
Yeah, well, no, they wouldn't. No, because it does penalise it. If I was Clarko, I would get a jumper and I would print across it in bold letters across the chest.
Peanut.
Peanut or stupid, and he would need to wear that for a fortnight while he trains.
Like a dunce's cap.
Yes.
I think that'd change you.
Just I don't think it'll change.
Just fill his locker up with peanuts.
As a leader, former leader, should they have been... Well, maybe they were internally. What they say publicly, I always say, can differ to what they say privately. But even publicly, maybe send a message out and say, yeah, we're not standing for this anymore. He's no good to us in the grandstand.
There's certain players that you do that you need to... be on the line, you know. They're on the line. They walk that fine line. But that is in itself is a skill, and it's a skill he doesn't do very well because he gets caught and he gets suspended.
Well, mate, you bring up white line fever, Jane. We spoke to him. Remember back on February the 14th.
Remember
so this
it well.
Is before the cut and thrust of the season had started, and this is what he had to say.
I don't know. I just get a little bit of white line fever that kind of splits me apart from normal James. Something that I need to manage, I think, and direct it in the right way. Sometimes I might step out of line, but how quickly I can get back onto the job. As long as I'm trying to do the right things and it's not detrimental to the team, I don't think he has too many problems with it.
And he third personed himself, which is nearly worse.
Give him extra week for the third. And coming from the bloke who's about to drop a Bob's-ovation.
And I think you actually said after that interview that that was one of the more refreshing, interesting interviews that Gary and I conducted on this program with an AFL footballer.
Second too. Only to Ernie and Tiger, of course.
John from Port Fairy's got some thoughts about you wanting to put special words on jumpers. G'day, John.
G'day, Gary, and you're going to get...
Oh, come on, John, it was Wisp's idea.
No, you jumped on board.
That's what I'm saying. Wispy, I loved you as a player, but Peanut and Stupid would be you two suggesting that.
Why is that, John?
Mate, yes, Tim.
Sicily, sure, needs to pull his head in a bit, and I do agree with what you said. He's certainly no Dermot Brereton, and Dermot got it right a lot, as you well know. But that sort of shaming is not appropriate. No.
Why do you think that, John?
You work it out, Tim. I'll leave you with the thoughts. Peanut and Stupid, put it on your own shirt.
Well, I don't need to. I'm not being a peanut. I'm not being stupid. This bloke's a recidivist.
Recidivist?
Yeah, that's the correct word. In fact, he should put that on his jumper too.
It wouldn't fit. Hey, appreciate your call, Johnny. Andrew's in Ocean Grove. Andrew?
G'day, boys. How's it going?
Good.
That's good. Watched Higgins' event unfold on the telly. It was pretty distressing to watch. I'm not sure whether you saw it live. But, just thought there's got to be a penalty for that act. I'm pretty sure that if you make head contact and you choose to bump, there's got to be a couple of weeks at least than that, I would have thought.
Not anymore, Andrew. That's what we're learning out of this whole incident. Not anymore. Once, as Bob has come in and as we all were of the opinion that we were conditioned to say if you elect a bump and you make head contact, you suffer the consequences.
I think it took the players a few seasons to pardon the pun, get their head around it. And now it's just thrown all the cards in the air. So
now they can elect
good luck,
bump.
Boys.
And as long as they couldn't foresee making head contact during the bump, then they're all clear with.
Yeah, but it's going to make for an explosive poem off today with the bump. Okay, can I just quickly jump
in?
We usually start with a Bob's-ovation.
Given you were here,
Well, I did get here early, and I know you guys had a week off last week after working 13 weeks straight.
No week off, my
friend. Now, in terms of school kids, a 13-week term.
That's a long term.
That is a long term, and the kids go a bit ratty.
Yep.
And I noticed a bit jaded a couple of weeks ago. I've walked in this morning, and my observation is that you guys are jumping out of your skin. The books are laminated. The pencils are sharpened. You guys are running on top of the ground. Even Black Sox out there, he's jumping out of his skin out there. So more power to you, boys.
The observation are thanks to the Western Bulldogs, and they sponsor you still.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Is this salary cap stuff?
This is the power of the poem.
Join the Bulldog bandwagon on the way to Ballarat. Accommodation packages available at westernbulldogs.com.au.
Fishnets. Enjoy handmade pan-cooked schnitzel tonight. And Melbourne Airport parking. 1 hour terminal parking, now only $12.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Big try, no mark taken. The ball comes to ground, taken by Mundy out of nothing. Goal! We were coasting. And then David Mundy read it best as the rain continues to tumble.
Yes, and that was the crumb of the week, thanks to Schnitz, of course, over there in Perth.
Even in the rain, players are going after the Schnitz crumb of the week, and we love the golden brown Schnitz, and David Mundy, he's got the golden brown locks, and that was a class crumb wisp.
Oh, one of the best you'll ever see.
Pan-fried crumb.
Well, you know, Gary caught up with Papa Schnitz yesterday too, and he said he was one classy man.
I did.
Schnitz, which didn't surprise me, but apparently it surprised
Papa
Gary.
Papa Schnitz, it's like meeting Willy Wonka.
Open shirt down to the sort of mid belly button.
It's nothing.
Blue
like...
cravat. What are you laughing at?
Meeting Willy Wonka.
It was.
It's nothing. Of the, like...
of the,
it's nothing.
Of the schnitzel world, it was.
Yeah, of the schnitzel world.
Let me read this out while you two laugh. End of the year. No, let me not. At the end of the year, we will nominate the top five crummers and we'll vote and find the Schnitz crumb of the year. A prize for the player, David Mundy, did a great job on Saturday night. Great call from Timmy Sausage Gossage over there. Very nice work.
We'll give the winner an everlasting gobsob.
Quick word on the Bulldogs. What happened?
We're having such a good morning.
All right,
talk about the Gold
Coast. Let's leave it right there. The palm off the bump. I didn't get a heads up on this, so clearly I've been...
We thought that you might have been otherwise engaged yesterday. You have a very big Monday. You got your show on last night. Apparently, you were very, very good again last night. Very good.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that, Wispy. You can.
Yes, you did.
You can. You said, I wouldn't say that.
You said that when you came
back. I did not. The bump is this week's topic.
It
Who's
is.
Who's going first?
Well, I always go first.
Okay,
so
I'll
Wispy,
go first.
You go. Come
okay.
on.
Of a fan... As a fan of this great game, hang on, I'm just going to restart. As a fan of this great game, I feel I'm being used. What constitutes a reportable bump has left me quite confused. The MRP has been streamlined to a community one, I thought a better system. He fronts the cameras every Monday and explains his decision to that man, Michael Christian. Today, he's been fed to our line. A hornery man called Gaz.
Hornery?
And just a vocal off the text has been the prolific Kraz. The offender or villain in this particular case is a clean-cut boy called Burton. And while I've no doubt in my mind his intention was not hurting, the fact remains he chose to bump and Higgins was left concussed. The fingerprints were as clear as glass, no need for an official dust. So the only conclusion that can be determined is the ruling is as clear as mud, or the AFL's appointment of Michael Christian has produced a comprehensive dud.
There you go. There's the whisk. Ooh, he's giving it a bump bowl. That's before the votes are in.
I did, hey, got
a clapping going on next door, too.
Like the rhyme of Hurton with Burton. I did like that. That was good.
Yeah. Okay, over
All
to
right,
you, Bob.
Okay. Mine's a bit short, a bit punchier.
Thank God.
And ultimately a bit better.
God.
That's abusive.
Tim, don't interrupt me at the start.
Off you go.
So the old ditty goes, Alice the camel had one hump. But what about footy players? Are they still allowed to bump? We were told that if you hit the head, you'd be in big strife. A few years ago, the Hawks Burton would have got life. I used to throw my weight around Wisp, but I was coached just to kick it. Before that, I had the potential to be the next Byron Pickett. Players are cracking in, the big boys are going thump. Now the rest of us are confused, like old mate Donald Trump.
Is that it? Is that it?
I think he's a Wednesday operator.
Is that it?
I think what has become
I think he might have been busy yesterday too.
He's a Wednesday operator.
I tell you what, if I don't win today...
Yeah.
Then this is rigged.
Send
this
them through.
Whole system is rigged.
Send them through. 0433981116. I don't generally make an assessment after I've listened, but I don't. I'm Switzerland, but not today. Wispy wins. Poor from Wispy. No flow. Lost me in Hornet West. Wisp. That was rubbish. I could listen to Bob for 8 hours straight.
See?
Gold, gee, Bob's.
Even at half rat power.
Way too long, Tim. That's coming through thick and fast. Unbelievable. Hey, tonight, Melbourne playing Richmond. 87,000 is being suggested. What say you in terms of an outcome?
This is the biggest anticipation I've had for any game this season for the D's and the Tigers.
I love it.
I'm pumped
you.
For this.
So am I.
Why?
What are you doing? Where are you going to
Well,
watch it?
Because of the expectation on Melbourne... Before the year, remember Kane Corns had them to win the flag. Huge expectation. This team's ready to go, but they yo-yo a bit. And then after last week where they were humiliated against the Hawks, and internally you got the sense that really unhappy. So that you'd think they would come out breathing fire, the Demons, tonight.
So
and the Tigers have just, they've been as fierce as they were last year. So I think it's going to be fireworks tonight.
You don't need to whack poor old Kane Corns in there.
It's an early examination, Tim.
You know what I call it? Mm. You know what
it's
I call
an early exam.
I'll take you back.
It's a little midterm.
I'll take you back to 2008. Do you know what happened in 2008 globally?
Not Tim Buller, is it?
There was a financial crisis, okay? And after that, the international money body, they went around to the world, around to all the world banks right across Europe and around the world, and they did what was known as a stress test. This is a stress test for the tonight.
Gee whiz.
That's a lot. It's
That's
an
profound,
early
I know. It's going to take you a while to understand what I've just said. But
how
this
you feeling,
is
how are you feeling about it, Gary? Do you think they can, Matt, because if they don't just need to bring the fire, do they? You play against the heavyweight champs in the Tigers. They need to come out competitive, but have they got enough composure and class as
well?
Yes.
Well, as was being pointed out to me on the from a text message point of view, that the way they played this game last year was perfect. They matched them from the inside. They got them a bit on the outside. You know, we've already had queries about their pace. I like them tonight. I think this is the sort of game where Melbourne play, and this is a bit of
this is almost a slap in their
face,
though, isn't
it? Is that they play well when least expected to win, and no one really.
No, but it's not least expected now, because we are all Xbox expecting a big response.
No, tonight.
So the expectation is that they will respond.
Yes, because Bob and others have been conditioned to the fact that Melbourne cannot string together.
Yeah, so this is a test, but their bigger test is
if they won this week.
Won this week and then they...
100%. Bob is onto it.
Defensively, how do you think they'll set up tonight? Because that's been a question mark about them. And they're coming up against what is sort of an unconventional forward line, the way that Richmond go about their business.
Well, I think they play probably more one-on-one, Tim, than zone.
Right.
That's the way. I think the zone perhaps has been one of the areas where, particularly when Frost was in that team, he seemed to be one that struggled to find his position in it all.
Yeah.
And with this smaller, Jake Levy, a lot of talk about him. Just give him an opponent. Give him an opponent to play on. Give him Townsend and say beat him.
Bob, do you need to be a smart footballer to play zone defence? Is it more difficult for a player to be given that assignment than to play man on man?
Yeah, there's a level of football intellect. Don't need to be smart in a general sense. We've proved that 100 years. Football.
No, but I'm just talking about football smart.
Yeah, yeah. To be able to position yourself to start, and then to be able to read the ball up the field and get the cues from what sort of pressure is happening up the field. If there's a lot of pressure, well, you can stretch that rope a bit. If there's not, then you get closer to the man.
Don't you think? And I've had a message from a former Tomo. He's a very smart man. Zone defence means the one-on-one defenders have become as rare and less skilled in defending one-on-one. And I firmly believe that as well. It showed some stuff last night. It's just when it gets to actually having a lockdown on an opponent, there's not a
there's not a lot of defenders who start with you.
And maybe no desire to do that, or maybe they don't, they've been playing zone so long that they've forgotten how to.
Well, and that was an adjustment. I remember when Luke Beveridge came in, so Dale Morris was probably, he was the poster boy of the man-on-man defender. He would just wear you so tight. So it was an adjustment for him could he stretch it out a little
bit. Maybe it's going to go back a bit then. You know, that as conditioning people to play
well, it might, particularly if you can't bank the pressure on the ball, then you do have to. That's why
that's a thing.
Look at Liam Jones at Carlton. So he's the most extreme 100%. Version of the zone defender, and then they've got guys like Easterwood and Jake Lever is one of those as well. Now the D's, Bulldogs and the Blues haven't brought the pressure, and those three haven't been able to bring their skills to the absolute fore because they rely on rushed kicks out of congestion, and then they can fly and impact.
Are you excited about tomorrow's game? Tomorrow's game as much as you are about tonight's game.
I'm excited, but tonight's really got me up and excited. But tomorrow will be a ripper as well. I'm sort of intrigued to see. The Bombers are a bit of a mixed bag, but I feel like Collingwood have really built something the last couple of weeks that looks like it might be sustainable.
Hey, very nice to have you in, Bobby. You've been here for a long time this morning. Thanks to the Dog Lover Show. Meet over 600 dogs at the Dog Lover Show. From May the 4th to the 6th, you can fetch your tickets online. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Likewise, boys.
We will take a break. We'll check in with the store. Melbourne, what's wrong with you?
We've just got a special little signal, Bob. You're not included.
I'm not included. Oh, fair enough.
Fish Nets. Enjoy handmade pan-cooked schnitzel tonight. And Melbourne Airport parking. Up to 3 hours terminal parking, now only $24.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
In the Melbourne Sporting Precinct tomorrow, Wisp is going to be massive. They'll just be getting over a huge 85,000 plus tonight. There'll be 90,000 plus tomorrow. And then, if you haven't had enough sport, you can wander over to Amy Park and watch the Melbourne Storm, the mighty Melbourne Storm take on the New Zealand Warriors, and that is going to be massive. And this man here, Riley Jacks, is going to be a very important part of that. He has got a great story, and it's familiar with, but it's a story of perseverance. He was on the Sydney Roosters list. He struggled to get a game. He was up in Queensland working as a chippy, I think, in the past couple of years. Got a call back to the Storm, and now he's worked his way in, having played the first game. Got left out when Billy Slater come back, and now he got a recall, and he's back in this side. He's going to be a part of the huge game tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And he joins us. Riley, welcome.
Hey, boys. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Oh, fantastic to have you. That's a great yarn. You must be looking forward to this Anzac Day clash. I mean, it's a nice little rivalry that's been building now for a while and be huge to be a part of.
Yeah, mate. It's always an unreal game playing the New Zealand Warriors. Always special on Anzac Day, and yeah, we're starting to get that bit of rivalry going, like, you know, the AFL have got at the moment.
Hey, Riley, good morning, it's Tim here. Gary talked about your background there, and which included only a couple of years ago you were working as a carpenter in Brisbane. At that stage, had you started to think, okay, maybe the NRL is not the thing that I'm going to pursue?
Yeah, mate, yeah, definitely. Oh, I definitely thought it was over for me. So 2 years ago, I was, yeah, up in Brizzy working as a chippy in the hot sun, and I was 24, and I sort of thought, you know, it's probably over now. Sort of that window's gone. But I kept playing reserves up there in the Queensland Cup, which is, you know, like the VFL down here. So just kept plodding away, and then Craig sort of gave me a call and gave me an opportunity to come down to a pre-season. And, yeah, got through one of his torturous pre-seasons with all the army camps and all that. And, yeah, he really likes my work ethic. And, yeah, he's given me a crack, which is awesome.
Could you believe it when the phone rang and it was Craig Bellamy on the other end?
Nah, mate, I honestly was a bit shocked. My coach at the time sort of said, you know, Storm was sort of looking at you. No pressure on you, but keep playing good. And I was like, oh, you know, I've heard that a few times. So didn't really get my hopes up or anything. But, you know, when the Storm called, I was stoked. The Storm's, you know, got that aura about it. Such a, you know, such a big club with all the big names down here.
And now you're going to play and run around in one of the most famous Melbourne Storm jumpers of all time. You've got the number 7, which has been worn with such distinction by Cooper Cronk, of course.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, Coops, he's been awesome for me. Like, he went to the same school as me up in Brizzy. And I sort of always looked up to Coop. So being able to take over that 7 jersey is, yeah, it's pretty special. And, yeah, Coops is a wonderful guy. He texted me the other day and, you know, and said, you know, wear that jersey with pride. And, yeah, good luck for the year. So it's pretty special.
You're a bit of a good luck charm for the Storm too. You've played 15 times for 13 wins.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky to be playing in this team, to be honest. Like, Cam Smith's going to go down as one of the all-time greats, and you got Billy Slater there. So I just slot in and just make my tackles, and yeah, a bit of a good luck charm, I guess. Yeah.
Just talking, you know, I reckon you'd be happy just to play for nothing.
Oh, mate, yeah. At the start there, I didn't care what my paycheck was. I just wanted to come to the Storm and play footy for them. So it's worked out all right now that it's my full-time job. Beats being a chippy for sure.
Would you be happy to do some carpentry work for nothing too? Because I've got a little renovation I'm doing at the moment.
No, definitely not. No, now I've had the taste, I don't really want to go back. I know I will have to at one stage, but I'll try and put it off.
I wouldn't go and work for him either, Riley. He's got his son-in-law at the moment working for about $14 an hour. Hey, how is it that you played 2 international games for Canada? I can't get my head around that.
No.
Yeah, so this is sort of another weird story. I didn't even know it at the time, but my granddad was actually born over in Canada. So
that allows me to qualify for Canada. And I got a phone call a couple of years ago from the Canada Rugby League asking if they wanted to come play a couple of test matches. So I've gone, yep, straight over to USA, and we versed USA and Jamaica. So, yeah, it was quite a weird experience playing rugby league over in America, but it was awesome.
Well, adds to the experience of playing, I'm sure, Riley. We're speaking to Riley Jacks, who's going to be playing for the Melbourne Storm against the New Zealand Warriors at Amy Park. It's nearly a sellout, by the way. It's approaching. You can go to tickettech.com.au, but you better be quick because seats have almost sold at Amy Park, and if you only get to one Storm game, then probably this is the one I would imagine to go to. Where have you settled in Riley in Melbourne, Riley, and what do you make of this town?
Mate, I love it. So I lived in Sydney for a bit there. Thought that was pretty hectic. And then I got to Melbourne and it's just full on, mate. But I love how everyone gets behind their sport, you know, especially at the AFL down here. I can't believe how passionate the supporters are, to be honest. I went to one Collingwood game and that was an eye-opener.
Have you adopted a team, Riley?
A lot of the boys are going for Richmond Tigers.
Oh, bandwagon.
Bandwagon, exactly. So... I might stick with the Brizzy Lions because that's where I'm from, but heard they're not going too good. So.
Fair enough, too.
Hey, you might have to follow Craig Bellamy back up the highway too to Brisbane if any of these rumours prove to be true.
Yeah, just rumours, mate. They're just... I read it the other day saying Riley Jack's going to Brisbane. I've never spoken to Brisbane, so... But if Craig went up there, yeah, I'd love to tag along and get back home for sure.
Hey, Riley, it's been great to talk to you. We're going to watch with great interest. We love the Storm, and we will be tuning in for this game tomorrow night, and we'll be paying extra special close attention to yourself in the number 7, and we wish you well, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for listening to the Best of SEN Breakfast Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. If you're hungry for more, head to sen.com.au. Otherwise, be tuning in tomorrow on the 1116 SEN station, app, or website. Bye for now.